chapter 4 in the Word of God this evening. Trust you had a good Tuesday, and again, we enjoyed our day, got a few things done, and just got a little rest as well. Kids got school done. Whenever we're traveling on the road in different situations every week, whenever the kids get school done, it's always a good day. And so kids got school done today, and so again, we just have enjoyed the time here so much. And I know your pastor and his wife will be taking off tomorrow, so I'm going to take the time right now, again, to say just thank you so much for the invitation to come this week. We've enjoyed getting to know them a little bit more, and of course, we're still looking forward to tomorrow night, but we trust they have a good time of rest, relaxation, even though it's going to be a little whirlwind of a trip, still, we'll trust they have an encouraging time. But thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this week. We've enjoyed ourselves, and we're just excited. Again, I said on Sunday that one of the blessings about traveling is going to so many places and meeting so many people and seeing that the work of God is everywhere. And God is at work, and it's a blessing to be a part of that. I'm not just speaking as a preacher, I'm speaking as a Christian. I hope that you feel the same way, that it's a blessing to be a part, that God could use us. And we're going to talk about that a little bit here tonight. But again, we had a good day. It's good to see you here in the house of the Lord. Let me mention the last book that's on the table. This is the last book the Lord allowed me to publish. It came out in 2024. It's called Portraits in Pain, Encouragement for Embattled Hearts. Everybody in the world is going through something. We kind of talked about that again on Sunday, how we live in a broken world, a sin-cursed world. And whether it's a physical issue, an emotional issue, financial, family conflict, whatever it is, life is full of problems, and it's full of unpleasant circumstances and things that we would rather not go through. And this particular book was born out of terrible back issues that I had in 2019. I turned 30 in 2018, and you know, some people say that like 40 is the hill, and once you get over it, I think for me the hill was 30, because this decade I've already had two surgeries, and I've had some other weird physical stuff that's been going on that we're trying to figure out, and so I'm hoping my 40s are better to me here in just a couple of years. But anyways, when I turned 30, I just started having back issues, and come to find out, I had two herniated discs, and one of them healed properly, the other one did not. And it kept re-herniating, and I would just, I'd go for weeks on end in the recliner in 2019. I had to cancel meetings, one meeting in particular, because I literally could not walk. I had so much pain down my right leg through the sciatic nerve. And some of you that have back issues, you can understand that. I used to hear about people with back issues, and I was just like, toughen up, come on. And then it happens to you, and it's like, wow, this can be very debilitating. So anyways, that's what this book was born out of, things the Lord was teaching me. And I tell people this, I am not the expert on pain and suffering. In fact, one of the hesitancies that I had in writing this book was I thought, Lord, I've hardly gone through anything, you know? I mean, it's just a little, some back issues. And I'm not the expert. There are people that have suffered way worse than I have, things of this world. But there are Bible principles. Whatever you're going through, there are Bible principles that we can look to, that we can glean from. And that's what this book talks about. So it kind of goes through, again, these different portraits. There really is love in pain. There really is purpose. There really is grace. There really is service. God can still use us as we're going through things. There really is, of course, the last portrait, the best one of all, the end of pain. One day it's all going to be gone, right, with the new heavens and the new earth. But anyways, if you are going through something, if you know of someone that's going through something, maybe, again, it's just a short little book. I write, it's filled with Bible verses, and just trying to encourage people, and maybe that'd be something for you to consider there. All right, Matthew chapter 4. In the Word of God tonight, and let's begin reading in verse number 17, a familiar text to many of us tonight, Matthew chapter 4, verse number 17. The Bible says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. I want to preach tonight on this subject, a message I've entitled, Faithfully Fishing. Faithfully Fishing. Let's pause and ask the Lord for his help tonight. Father, Thank you for this evening. Thank you for the blessings we've already received today. And truly, you daily load us with benefits. Thank you for what we've already experienced in your hand of mercy and grace upon us. Thank you, the song that we just sang, that that it's not I, it's Christ in us. And Lord, we have nothing to boast of tonight in of ourselves. It is all you. You are salvation. You are sanctification. You are strength, Lord. You are everything. And Lord, I thank you for that. Now, for the next few moments, would you still our minds and our hearts? And Lord, help us to see, as we've talked about walking in you, help us to see that there is an outflow of that. And there are things and there are ways that you want to use us, specifically, Lord, in this area of sharing our faith tonight. And so, Lord, would you just fill me, use me, hide me behind the cross. May you be exalted tonight. Would you draw us all closer to yourself? And no matter where we're at in our walk with you, help us all to leave this place tonight excited about fishing for men. Please, God, again, I pray you receive glory now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I am not much of a fisher. I never have been. I probably never will be. I've gone just a handful of times in my life. The first few times that I went, I caught nothing. And so that really didn't make me excited about wanting to go out and wanting to try it again. It's really just in the last few years that Dominic, my oldest son, has taken an interest a little bit in fishing. And so he's wanted to get out. And so I said, all right, well, let's go out. I'll buy a permit and let's go. And I'll try to do better, at least to catch something. And we've gone a few times. And thankfully, I have caught something, by the way, now. And so that gives me a little bit of reason to want to go back out there. But really, I don't have much drive for it. I mean, if you're a fisher, please don't be offended. I'm sure there are things that I like that you don't like, okay? And so, I'm just more power to you. You're probably not going to want me, get me to go out, though, at 5 o'clock in the morning and drown worms. I just don't want to do that. That's not my idea of a good time, okay? While I'm not excited about nor involved in physical fishing, I should be excited about and involved in spiritual fishing. Jesus says here in our text, as again, it's a very familiar one to many, to any believer that's been in church for any length of time. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. And so if I am not faithfully involved in fishing for men, if you are not faithfully involved in fishing for men, then we are not where we need to be in our Christian life. In fact, can I say, if you are not faithfully fishing for men, hear me tonight, you're not following Jesus. You're not following him to the extent that he has called you to follow him, and praise God that he will enable you to follow him. I love it how he says, I will make you. In other words, I'll enable you. Again, like we talked about last night, I know you're weak, right? And I know you struggle, but I'm the power source. I will make you to become a fisher of men. A.T. Pearson, who was a Bible teacher and a pastor from many years ago, A.T. Pearson said, witnessing is the whole work of the whole church for the whole age. J. Wilbur Chapman, who was a famous evangelist again many years ago, J. Wilbur Chapman said, if Jesus called his disciples to be fishers of men, who gave us the right to be satisfied with making fishing tackle or pointing the way to the fishing banks instead of going ourselves to cast out the net until it is filled? You see, tonight, listen, soul winning is not just the pastor's job. It's not just the deacon's job or the evangelist's job or the Christian school teacher's job. Soul winning or witnessing is the responsibility of every child of God. God has called all of us to go out and to be fishers of men. Notice here that he called men who were poor and uneducated. Now, fishers, to be a fisherman back in Bible days, again, it was a very common trade, a very common practice, but these were not the most educated or the wealthiest men that were around. And if Jesus called these men and he used these men, surely there is no excuse for you and me tonight to not go after souls. Maybe somebody's here tonight and you say, well, Brother Will, I just feel so, I didn't go to Bible college like you, and I don't know all the verses, and I just, I feel kind of shy. Well, then guess what? That makes you a candidate for God to use. You say, what do you mean? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26, for ye see your calling, brethren, How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And so right there, that's what I mean. God, that makes you a candidate for God to use. The Bible says that God takes the foolish things of the world and to confound the wise. Maybe somebody else is here tonight, and you say, well, Brother Will, I feel like I'm an introvert, and I'm just timid, and I'm shy, and I really just get so scared and talking to people. Well, then guess what? That makes you a candidate for God to use. Because the Bible says that God takes the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. Again, it's the responsibility of every Christian. The question tonight is not whether or not you want to, it's are we going to be obedient to God? That's the question. The question is not, well, again, if I have time, or maybe if I feel like it one day. No, the question is, are we going to obey the Lord's great commission? Of course, in Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, one of the places that we find what we term as the great commission. And in Mark 16, 15, Jesus said to his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Again, somebody here tonight might say, well, that's what you do. You're an evangelist and you travel around and you preach in churches, and that's what Pastor Lynn does. He gets up and he stands behind the pulpit and he declares the word of God. Do you know the word preach there doesn't just mean stand behind a pulpit? Again, I know you're in a good church, so you've probably heard this, right? The Greek word is kerusso. And you know what the word simply means? It simply means to herald forth a message, to proclaim a message. Go ye therefore, and kerusso, go ye therefore, and proclaim, herald forth the message. As the songwriter said, we have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves. I want to ask you tonight, are you being obedient to the Lord in this area? Now, Don't be mistaken. I'm not asking tonight how many fish have you caught. Okay, it's a sad reality that the majority of people in our churches have never one time led someone to the Lord. Okay, that's a very sad reality. And maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, well, I've never done that. Well, then can I say tonight, you need to fall on your knees, on your face before God and say, oh God, I want to win someone to you. I want to go to heaven and I want to bring everyone I can with me, right? I want to point people to you. Okay, so but that's not my question. I'm not asking you how many people you've caught, all right? I'm simply saying this. Are we even going and fishing? Are we making any attempt? Are we giving out gospel tracts? Are we inviting folks to church? Are we looking for opportunities to share our faith and seizing the moment? I want to give you four things tonight, four reasons why all of us should be actively engaged in sharing our faith. From the youngest person here, I don't care how young you are in the Lord, to the oldest person here, all right? All of us should be actively engaged. Four reasons why. Number one, because the heart of our Lord. The heart of our Lord. It cannot be denied as one studies scripture that the heart of our God is ever towards people in wanting their salvation. Although God is completely just and holy in his judgment, I'm convinced that he would much rather display his mercy and grace to mankind than his judgment. I'm convinced of that. Again, the Bible says in John 3:16, we know that verse, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 Timothy 2:4, that God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you hear the heart of God there? God will have all men to be saved. He is not willing that any should perish. That's the heart of our God. Now, sometimes people say, well, brother, well, that's the God of the New Testament. Man, you read the Old Testament, and oh, man, there was all this killing, and there was all this judgment, and all these things. Now, can I say this tonight? It is safe to say that as we study scripture, okay, that I think we come to the conclusion that it's safe to say that God has dealt with mankind different ways throughout different periods of time. Okay, I think it's very safe to say that. All right, but the heart of God, listen to me, the heart of God has not changed one bit. It wasn't different in the Old Testament as it was in the New Testament. No, here's some Old Testament verses. Psalm 86, verse number 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. In Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 11, God told Ezekiel to tell the children of Israel. He said, listen, Ezekiel, tell them this. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Do you hear the heart of God in that? God said, Ezekiel, I want you to tell them that I have no pleasure, absolutely no pleasure in the death of the wicked, that my heart is saying, turn you. Why do you want to die? Again, another Old Testament verse, Micah 7 and verse 18. Micah 7:18, the Bible says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever. Get it? Because he delighteth in mercy. Again, that's the heart of my God. Listen, if you're here tonight, and again, I never want to take this for granted. If you're here tonight and you're not sure if you died tonight, that heaven's your home and your sins are forgiven, I'm not trying to invite you to a God that it's like that. I would say, hold on, let's try to twist God's arm behind his back. And if we really just beg God, maybe God will forgive you. No, that's not the heart of God. I'm telling you to come to a God whose arms are wide open, who says, I want you to come to me. I want a relationship. Again, that's my heart. I delight in mercy. I delight in manifesting my grace. That's the heart of God. The heart of the Lord is absolute unconditional love that longs to save and to heal and to deliver. The question tonight is that our heart? Are we in tune as his children? Are we in tune with the heart of God? We're not going to take time to turn there. I think most of us are familiar with the Old Testament story of Jonah. Every time I read the story of Jonah, I kind of scratch my head. Now, again, I want to be very clear. I'm not perfect. And there are many, many days that I sense my own lukewarmness and my own coldness. And I miss opportunities of going after souls. So, okay, I'll be very clear on that. All right? But as a preacher, when I read the story of Jonah, I'm thinking to myself, What's the problem? Okay, I understand there's a little bit of fear in going to Nineveh, all right? And so you run away. In fact, we'll see here in just a second. We know why he ran away. He tells us in chapter 4 why he ran away. In fact, let's do this, all right? I wasn't going to do this, but I want you to see this. Would you turn to Jonah chapter 4? Because Jonah tells us why he runs away, why he ran away in chapter 1, okay? He comes back after the whole episode with the whale, with the great fish, okay? And preaches an 8-word message, at least that's what's recorded for us in Scripture, is an 8-word message, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. All right, and the people, the Bible says, they believe God. They call a fast. And God withholds the judgment that he was going to send upon the people of Nineveh for that time. Now, we know that Nineveh was later destroyed because the book of Nahum tells us that, tells us about the destruction of Nineveh, okay? But for a time, God withheld the judgment because they believed the word of the Lord spoken by Jonah. But look at what Jonah says. This is amazing. Again, this goes right along with the heart of God, and are we in tune with God's heart tonight? Let me stop talking and get there myself, all right? Here we go. Jonah chapter 4. Look at verse number 1. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Now, don't miss this. If you want to know why Jonah ran, he tells us right here. Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. Why? For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. What? Jonah says, God, this is why I ran. Because I knew, God, I knew that you're merciful and gracious and you're slow to anger and you were probably not going to judge these wicked people. That's why I ran, God. Because I knew that you were probably going to spare them. What? Again, I'm not far from perfect. But as a preacher who reads revival history accounts, who longs to see God save multitudes of people and just to see great things today, I read that and I think, what is going on? Jonah is not in tune with the heart of God. I want to ask you a question tonight. Are there people that you are slow in giving the gospel out to? Now, before you answer, think about it. Because initially, we'd say, oh, no, not us. We love everybody. It's easy to say we love everybody. But sometimes, if the Spirit of God, if we allow him to search our hearts, he'll reveal some prejudices there. whether, again, it's we could talk about all sorts of things, right? Just people we don't like, or this a group of people that believe this that we don't believe, and they're on the other side politically and whatever, right? It's not a political message, but I'm just saying, if we're not careful, we will begin to have the same heart of selfishness and no, those people, they deserve that. And yeah, and you know what we deserve? Hell, that's what we deserve. And God's been gracious and merciful to us. The point is here, we see a prophet of God who, as far as, again, we don't know how Jonah ended his life. All we are told is in chapter 4, he's throwing a pity party. He's selfish. He's focused on the wrong thing. And I hope that he turned around his life, but there's no evidence in Scripture that he got right with the Lord. He's not in tune. Listen, if you're in tune with the heart of God, if his life, again, like we talked about last night, if we're walking in Jesus, if Christ's life by his Spirit is what's filling us and flowing through us, then we can't help but open our mouths and share the good news of what God's done for us. Can I say, if it's been quite a while since you shared your faith, since you felt an intense burden for the lost around you, then you're probably not quite in tune with God's heart tonight. There's probably some lukewarmness there. So number one, why should we be faithfully fishing? Because the heart of our Lord. Are we in tune with God's heart? His heart. It's unquestionably the case. The heart of God is to love, to heal, to save, to deliver, to show mercy, to show grace. Number two, let me give you this. Not only because of the heart of the Lord, but secondly, because of the harvest of the lost. The harvest of the lost. I don't know what the latest statistic is. I think the last time I looked, they tell us, whoever they is, whoever comes up with these numbers, I don't know. But they tell us that there are close to 8 billion people. 8 billion people on planet Earth today. That's a lot of people. And I would venture to say, again, I don't know how I could come up with a correct number on this, but I would venture to say that well over half have never one time heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, yeah, like people in Africa and in Asia and in there, that the 1040 window there, and in the jungles of far away. Yeah, in Friendly, Nevada too. Right here, or wherever it is that you live. Jesus, listen to what Jesus said, John 4:35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Listen, I'm convinced that there are people that are out there that would turn to the Lord, that are ripe for the harvest, if they would but hear the message. There's a lot of people. Now listen, yeah, you'll come across some that don't want anything to do with God. Okay? Still love him, still pray for him, still try to sow the seed, right? There's definitely those that are out there. But I do believe, especially the post-COVID world, I do believe that there are people, what's going on in the Middle East and what's going on just worldwide, so many things are happening, right? So many earthquakes and so many, even here, right? I missed it the other morning. Someone said there was an earthquake the other morning, and I wanted to, if I'm here, I might as well feel it, right? And I didn't feel it. So I better not say that, because God may give us a big one tomorrow, okay? But hopefully not. Anyways, though, we see all these things happening, and I believe that there are people that are hurting, and there are people that are empty, and there are people that are searching, and they're ripe for the harvest, but they have to hear the message. They have to receive an invitation to church. They have to know that there are people that really do believe in a God that has made a difference in their life, and they need to see that in your life. Matthew 9:37-38, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Listen, Jesus said this is always going to be the case until Christ comes back. The harvest is always going to be plenteous. And in relation to that, in comparison to that, the laborers are always going to be few. And then he tells us, so pray. By the way, this is not the main message tonight, but since this is the verse, can I ask you this? Are you fulfilling that command? When's the last time that you prayed for laborers to go into the harvest? Let me give you a practical help tonight. This is something that, again, I'm not, just because I got flesh like everybody else, I'm not consistent in this, all right? But this is something that I heard years ago, and it has helped me, okay? You know, here's an easy way that every day you can pray for laborers to go into the harvest fields, all right? How many continents are there? 7, all right? Or at least that's what I learned in school. Who knows what they're teaching today, okay? They're changing all types of things. When I was little, I learned there's 7 continents: North America, South America, Europe, Africa, Asia, Australia, Antarctica, okay? That's what I learned, all right? How many days in a week are there? 7. You know what an easy way that you can pray for the Lord of the harvest, the Spirit of God, to send forth laborers, to convict people, to call people, for people to respond, is to pray for a different continent every day. It takes you 5 seconds. Honestly, add that to your prayer list, okay? Add it there. And Jesus said that we are to pray for more laborers for the harvest. No, you can't reach everyone, and I can't reach everyone, but we can reach someone, and all of us can be reaching more than we currently are. I'm convinced of that. Listen, you have people in your sphere of influence that I'll never meet. I have people in my sphere of influence that you'll never meet. It is no accident. Think of this tonight. It is no accident that God has you where He has you. It's no accident you have the doctor that you have, that you have the mail person that you do, that you have the hairdresser or the barber. It's no accident you see the same person in the grocery checkout line or at the bank. Or you understand what I'm saying? It's no accident. The people that we run across. And we've got to have an awareness every day of those around us. I heard a preacher say one time that when he woke up in the morning, he was on soul patrol. Well, that's good. We need to wake up every morning, and as Christians, we need to recognize that we're on duty, all right? We're on soul patrol, and we need to be conscious of those around us. Now, again, I know I'm as guilty as the next guy of going to the store, especially if there are times I get in moods where I don't mind shopping, but a lot of the time, especially on the road and we're traveling, we got to get in, we got to get out, right? It's like, I got this one thing in my mind, I'm going to the store for this, right? And I'm just zoned on that. And I'm as guilty as the next person, but listen, all of us need to become aware of the people around us, whether it's the gas station, whether it's the store, whether it's sitting in an office somewhere. If you will take time to get your nose out of your book. Now, again, I'm all for books. All right, I love reading books, but and just be aware of people around you, and just look for a. You say, well, what if they, what if they shut down a conversation? Well, at least you tried. Say, hey, how you doing today? And just a smile and hey, how you doing today? Man, that could open a whole conversation, right? What I'm saying, again, is are we even trying? Are we even trying to put out the net, right? Some people say, well, Brother Will, I've tried to give out gospel tracts, and I've walked away, and you can just see they're going to throw it on the ground. They're going to throw it away. Can I say this tonight? That's not your responsibility. That's right. It's not. Yeah. Our responsibility is just to keep sowing seed. Throw it out there. Throw out the seed, right? And some of it will land upon good soil. Again, people that are right, people that are ready to hear the gospel message. God has us where we are for His specific purpose, to be salt and to be light where He's placed us. We know Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Pat you on the back? No. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. How are they doing that? Because they're being drawn. They're being drawn to God Himself. Again, it's not our goodness. I mentioned this the other day. It's not our goodness they're seeing. It's the fruit of God. It's the life of God, God's love, God's joy, God's peace. And that's what attracts people. Because again, that's supernatural. It's not the natural complaining and discouragement and anger and jealousy and pride that they see in their workplace and in their neighborhood. No, that's, whoa, when they see something supernatural, again, that's salt and that's light. And that draws people. Oh, the harvest of the lost. Who does God want you to be reaching tonight? Who is it that you say, Brother Will, I tried that. And again, now, can I say this? I understand that we need to be led by the Spirit and we need to use wisdom and tact, okay? And I'm not one whatsoever. That's one for just knocking on doors and just, you're lost and you're going to hell. And I'm not, there's no tact in that, okay? There's not the graciousness of God. We can speak the truth in love, okay? So I understand that. So you say, well, Brother, well, I've tried this and it seems like there's a little bit of a hindrance there in that relationship. Well, pray, ask the Spirit of God. God, would you soften their hearts? Would you give me an opportunity, Lord, to just say a word to them? And while that's the case, we need to use wisdom, we need to use tact. I think that for a lot of people, we use that as an excuse, right? And we go to an extreme where we're not even talking to anybody. No, the gospel message is an urgent message, and it needs to get out, okay? The harvest of the lost. Let me give you a third thing tonight. Not only the heart of the Lord, secondly, the harvest of the lost. But why should we be faithfully fishing? Number three, because the hour is late. The hour is late. I don't know. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not going to make any dates, okay? I don't know the exact time of Christ's return. But I do know this. We're one day closer than we were yesterday. Amen. We're one day closer. World events are coming together. Again, I'm not going to tell you, you know, be dogmatic that this is this and this is this and this. I'm just simply saying it's interesting when you see what's happening in the world. Okay, world events are coming together. The stage is being set for both the man of sin, the Antichrist, to appear, and then the real Christ after that to return in power and glory. God's timetable is moving along, and he has us on earth for such a time as this. Don't ever get over the fact. Let it humble you. Let it give you zeal every day that you get to live in 2026 and that God has a plan for you right now in 2026 that God wants to use you for such a time as this in people's lives. Don't ever get over that. Again, our full redemption is drawing nigh. There's no doubt about it. And so let me say this tonight. What must be done for Jesus must be done now. Right now. We don't know how much longer we have to make a difference in people's lives. John 9:4, Jesus himself said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. The idea there is to buy up the opportunity, seize the opportunities. Again, not everyone you witness to is going to be saved. All right? But everyone you witness to is going to get a gospel seed. Okay? And there will be some that if you keep at it, if you keep fishing, just like I kept fishing, eventually you're going to catch something. God's going to give you an opportunity to be able to see a soul won for Christ. Redeem the time. Buy up the opportunities. James 4:14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. We understand that. The vapor, when you go out on a cold morning and you breathe, and there's that little smoke, little vapor, and it's there and it's gone. That's your life. How encouraging. That's my life. But you know what that ought to make us do? It ought to make us say, as Moses said in Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. God, help me to wake up every day and understand I only have so many of these days. I know when you're young, it seems like you got forever. I remember, again, I told you, was it this? Yeah, it was the illustration the other night. There are some things that stick in my mind. And I remember this. I went to a Christian school, a small Christian school, and I remember after my freshman year in high school, I was sitting there, high school graduation, and I remember seeing those seniors walk across the stage. And I just finished my freshman year, and I thought, 3 more years. It's going to be forever. Same thing happened at college. College I went to after I finished my freshman year, all the freshmen sat in the dining hall, the overflow, right? Because all the other parents and family were in to see the seniors graduate. So I'm sitting there in the dining hall and see those seniors walk across the stage and think to myself, 3 more years. It's going to be forever. And then 3 years came and went. And I've already, again, I'm still a relatively young guy, but I've been out for, 16 years, something like that. And I'm just like, I've always heard people say that the older you get, the faster time flies. Can anybody testify to that? Yeah, right? That's just a reality of life, right? The older you get, the faster it flies. And so you know what that means? Now, again, I know that when we're in the daily grind of life and you got to go to work and you got to get dinner on the table and we got all these plans and things. I know that in the daily grind of life, we don't often think about it. But we need to, by the grace of God, somehow. And if it's just asking the Spirit of God every morning, God, help me to see the urgency of this day. I only have so many days. And so help me not to waste this day. Lord, help me to give the gospel to at least one person, or at least hand out one gospel tract today, Lord. Help me. I don't want to waste a day. This is not original with me, but I like the idea so much that I stole it from somebody else. And I read of a preacher who bought an hourglass and put it in his office. And I said, I love that idea. And so I ordered a cheap hourglass on Amazon. And I have an office at my house. And whenever I'm home and I go into my office, not every day, but a lot of times I'll just turn that hourglass over. You say, what's that? You only got an hour to study? No, that's not what it's for, all right? It's for, as I'm studying, I'll look at that hourglass and I always think to myself, my life is slipping away. You say, Brother Will, that's morbid. It's reality. It's reality. And I don't know about you, but I know that I've wasted a lot of days. There's a lot of days that I've wasted. And so I want to make sure that every day that God gives me, if he comes in the rapture or if I take my last breath on earth, I want to make sure that every day I store up something in eternity. That there's not wood, hay, and stubble, but there's gold, silver, precious stones that I want to give back to my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The hour is late, friends. Jesus said, follow me. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And we've got to understand the urgency of the hour. I heard one person say that we need to live as if Jesus died yesterday, he rose this morning, and he's coming again tomorrow. That's how we should live. He died yesterday. It's fresh in our minds, right? He rose this morning. It's even more fresh, but he's coming again tomorrow. And so we got to do everything we can today for his glory. The hour is late. But let me give you a fourth thing. Oh, we're doing good on time tonight. Not only the heart of our Lord, the harvest of the lost, the hour is late, but why should we be faithfully fishing? Number four, because hell is looming. Because hell is looming. I don't enjoy preaching on hell. I really don't. Sometimes when we're in a hotel or whatnot, just the other night we were flipping through channels trying to find something to watch. And I don't stop and watch Joel Osteen. I really don't. But for whatever reason, I just stopped the other night. I said, oh, I haven't seen this in a few years. Well, give me a good laugh, you know. And so I was watching him, and my daughter, Haley, she said, does he ever preach on hell? Said, I don't even know if he believes in it. I said, no, he won't have a huge church. But you know what? The other thought I have is I don't enjoy preaching on hell. I really don't. And I don't know any preacher worth his weight in salt that does. I'd much rather not. But it's still in the Bible. It's still in the Bible. And it's still the awful reality of everyone that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I ask us tonight, do we view everyone around us with an eternal spirit that is destined for either heaven or for hell, ultimately the lake of fire? Is it constantly on our minds the horrendous fate that our unsaved loved ones and neighbors and friends will have if they continue on without the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus himself said in Matthew 25:41, then shall he say unto them, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now let me say this tonight. Everyone in hell, and that will eventually be in the lake of fire, as the Bible teaches in Revelation that hell will be taken up itself and cast into the lake of fire, right? So everyone there that will be there because of their own sin and rejection of Jesus. Be clear about that tonight, okay? But at the same time, let me say this. Surely an indifferent and non-witnessing church cannot escape at least part of the blame for multitudes who are going to be there. Have blood on our hands. God forgive us of the blood that's on our hands when we have not opened our mouths, when we have not blown the trumpet to warn people. Charles Spurgeon said this, and I love this quote. I'm a quote guy. I'm all the time writing down different quotes and This is one of my favorite quotes, although it's one of the most convicting quotes. Charles Spurgeon said this, "If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for." Amen and amen. I love that. He said, if hell's going to be filled, you know, they're going to leap to hell over my dead body. It's going to be like my arms are wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. Don't go. Jesus loves you. God, Jesus died for you. God loved us so much, he provided the way out of that awful place. Please, don't trust Jesus. He says it's going to be filled in the teeth of our exertions. In other words, our effort, not fleshly effort. I hope that we've already covered that, right? Not dependence upon self, dependence upon Jesus. But still, when we're depending upon Jesus, he will enable us, he will make us, he will lead us to be his witnesses. There is obedience on our part. Let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for. Friends, are you faithfully fishing tonight? Again, I'm not asking you how many fish you've caught. But let me say this. If you haven't caught a fish, spiritually speaking, or if it's been a while, would to God that everybody here at Grace Baptist Church would get along with God tonight. I'm not talking about here. I'm saying go back to your own house. Get on your knees if you can. If not, get on your knees in your heart and say, "Dear God, forgive me of my lukewarmness, of my lack of souls, and this, I want this to be the year, Lord, that I win people to you." And what if everybody here did that? Oh, can you imagine the harvest of fish that might be brought in? Can you imagine the souls that might be saved? If you said, "God, we want this year, the rest of this year, we got seven months left in this year after this month? The rest of this year for Grace Baptist Church in Fernley, Nevada, we want to see these pews filled." Like I said the other night, not just add more bodies, because that represents people that have come to the Lord. Oh, are we faithfully fishing? It's our responsibility, friend. It's our privilege. It's a responsibility, but it's our privilege. Again, it ought to humble us every day to cooperate with God. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that God hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, it says in chapter 5, verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us." So God is beseeching people by us, through our lips. Be reconciled to God. Proverbs 11:30. I'm almost done. Proverbs 11:30. "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." You guys know the book of Proverbs. It's all the time contrasting. Wise man and the foolish man. Wise man and the foolish man. And so, to me, if it says he that winneth souls is wise, that would have to mean that he that doesn't win souls, or at least, again, as we're saying tonight, makes no attempt to win souls, unwise, foolish. It's our responsibility. John R. Rice penned this many years ago. "So little time the harvest will be over. Our reaping done, we reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest, and hope he'll smile and that he'll say, 'Well done.' Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in. How many times I should have strongly pleaded, how often did I fail to strictly warn? The Spirit moved, oh, had I pled for Jesus. But the grain is fallen, lost ones not reborn. The harvest white with reapers few is wasting, and many souls will die and never know the love of Christ, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, let us weep and love and pray and go. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in." Let me say this one more time. And I say it to myself. Again, I'm in this with all of you. And my heart cries out, God, I want to be more this way. If we're not faithfully fishing, we're not following Jesus to the extent that he's called us and that he can enable us. Oh, may God help us tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, again, that you renew our love and passion and burden for the lost around us. God, it's your commission. You said to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. God, help us to seize the opportunity with a neighbor, with a coworker, with a loved one, Lord, with the person at the gas station. Help us to seize the opportunity, Lord, to speak a word for Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Thank you for your very kind attention tonight. I'm going to ask this question.